This is Construction Business Mastery, episode number one. In the fast-paced, high-tech world of construction today, 80% of the new start construction companies go broke or out of business within the first year. In 5 years, only 2% of the construction companies remain. Construction Business Mastery is dedicated to providing educational information and resources necessary for construction companies to succeed and prosper. Hello, this is Glenn Wilson, your host for the Construction Business Mastery podcast. This is our first podcast in what will be a series of podcasts directed at helping independent and medium-sized contractors succeed and prosper in the construction industry. In this podcast and future podcast, we will be providing information on construction business tools and strategies, best construction management practices, construction technology applications, and construction educational materials that I believe are essential for the success of a construction company in today's world. This information will be provided in the feature segment of the podcast. In the feature segment, we will also be looking at legal issues surrounding construction claims and how they affect the contracting business, construction safety, and the impact safety and OSHA is having on the construction industry. At the end of each podcast, we will provide a construction quick tip that will help you successfully manage your construction company. In this first podcast, I think it is important to provide some information on my experience and qualifications to head up the team here at Construction Business Mastery. In addition, I think it is important to look at why Construction Business Mastery was created and what we hope to accomplish in the future. Hello, and welcome to the feature segment of Construction Business Mastery Podcast. As I mentioned in the introduction, I believe it is important to provide information on my experience and qualifications to head up the team here at Construction Business Mastery. After all, I am producing a podcast that I believe will help independent and medium-sized contractors succeed in the construction industry. And I think it's important that you know that I am qualified to make these representations. Currently, I am president and CEO of a design and construction management firm operating throughout the southeastern United States with 40 years of experience in the construction industry. My father was a part owner in a masonry construction company, so I grew up around construction. I started my construction career at age 17, building patios for homeowners in and around our neighborhood. My education process in construction began with a third patio that I built. I learned that it was important to have a clearly defined contract covering the scope of work to be performed. There was a clear misunderstanding between what I thought I had contracted for and what the homeowner expected. The patio that was constructed was about twice the size of what I thought I was going to build. That was the first of many lessons that I would learn over the next 40 years. About that time, I also joined the apprentice program for bricklayers and was able to work on weekends and at night while going to school. In those days, working those hours paid triple time. I have to admit, I was one of the richest 18-year-old kids in high school. I think that's what led to my love of construction. When I graduated from high school, I went to the University of Cincinnati, where I graduated with a degree in construction management. While going to school at the University of Cincinnati, I co-opted for Turner Construction Company, and after graduation, went to work for a contracting company and land developer that specialized in warehouse and office buildings. After several years, my entrepreneurial spirit took over, and I found myself in business for myself building houses, and over the course of the next 10 years, developed the business into a commercial construction company. In the early 1980s, with the economy in a slump, much like it is today, We had a client that did not pay us $1 million on two projects that we had built for them. During the next 5 years, I learned more about construction litigation than I ever wanted to know. It was critical to my future success that I remembered all that I had learned. As the story goes, we won the battle, collected our money, but we lost the war, and the company was forced to close. Over the next 15 years, I worked for three companies. One was an architecture and construction management firm, where I worked as the head of the construction management department, taking the company from doing approximately $1 million in construction management a year to over $20 million. I then decided it was time for a career change and went to work for a general contractor as a project manager and construction manager, specializing in government contracts and design build work. From there, I was offered a position as a principal in charge and partner in a national engineering, architecture, and construction management firm, building projects throughout the United States. But once again, after 15 years, the entrepreneurial spirit once again took over, and I purchased an architecture and construction management firm specializing in building church and church-related facilities throughout the southeastern United States. It was in this capacity that I discovered the need for assisting independent and medium-sized contractors succeed in their construction business. The idea of forming Construction Business Mastery began approximately 4 years ago when we experienced over the preceding four projects at least one contractor from each project going out of business or broke during the construction phase. The light bulb really came on when I conducted a pre-construction conference at one of our job sites. At the meeting, I went through with all of the contractors the contract requirements for supplying payment applications on AIA forms, supplying copies of their contractor safety programs, going through the shop drawing and submittal process, and the requirements for turning in weekly toolbox talks to meet the OSHA requirements of the project. I was met with blank stares from over half of the contractors in the room. They had no idea that these things were needed or even where to go and get them. Since that time, we have been working to develop educational programs and systems to help independent and medium-sized contractors succeed in the construction business. And this podcast is our first installment of what will be coming in the future. We will be producing a podcast twice a month and will be covering issues that I believe are relevant and critical to every contractor's success. They will include such items as construction management issues, project management issues, financial issues, insurance and bonding issues, safety issues, marketing issues, and technology issues. And within the next 5 months, we will be launching the Construction Business Mastery website, where all of this information and many other benefits will be available to the construction community. One of our primary aims of this website is to build a community of successful contractors throughout the country. During the 5 years that I spent trying to collect the $1 million that we were not paid on the two projects, I became acutely aware of the necessity of understanding legal rulings in the construction industry. And in this section of our podcast, we will look at a specific ruling that the courts have handed down that pertain to our business. I should note here that the information contained in this section of our podcast comes from the Construction Claims Advisor, a monthly publication that I receive and read regularly, and it is included with the express permission of WPL Publishing Company, and in fact, they have included a special offer for anybody that's interested in this publication after listening to our podcast. You can find this publication online at www.constructionclaims.com. You will find this link in our show notes along with a special offer from WP Publishing Company and a special promotion code for that offer. So please check that out in our show notes. This case study involves the paid-if-paid clause that we find in a lot of contracts being utilized by general contractors and being executed by subcontractors. In this case, the project owner, PathNet, Inc., filed for bankruptcy. The subcontractor, Mid-America Construction of Oklahoma, sued the contractors, Mastic North America of Florida, and Renegade of Idaho, Incorporated, to get paid for work that it had performed. The courts, however, determined that a paid-if-paid clause under Texas and New Mexico law meant that the contractors did not have to pay Mid-America if they themselves have not been paid by PathNet. A little bit of background. PathNet hired Renegade to help build the New Mexico and Texas portions of a fiber optic network. Mastech subsequently purchased Renegade. The defendants hired Mid-America for work performed in January and February of 2001 and made an initial $170,000 payment to Mid-America in March 2001. PathNet, the owner, filed for bankruptcy in April of 2001, and Mastech refused to make any further payments to Mid-America, asserting it had not received payment from PathNet for the work Mid-America had performed. Mid-America sued the defendants in U.S. District Court for the Western District of Oklahoma for $1.9 million. The District Court denied Mid-America's motion for partial summary judgment and granted the defendants countermotion for summary judgment, holding that a provision in the subcontract provided all payments to the subcontractor by the contractor are expressly contingent upon the subject to receipt of payment for the work by the contractor from the owner. The court said that unless or until PathNet paid the defendants, they had no obligation to pay the plaintiff. It also found that a termination clause in the subcontract barred Mid-America's claim for breach of contract. The plaintiff, Mid-America, filed a brief in the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals affirmed to Renegade and Mastech a condition precedent to their obligation to pay Mid-America. The appeals court noted that construction contracts often contain provisions such as paid when paid and paid if paid contractual clauses. The appeals court said that a typical pay when paid clause might read, contractor shall pay subcontractor within 7 days of contractor's receipt of payment from the owner. Such a clause, it said, does not create a condition precedent to the obligation to ever make payment, and it does not expressly shift the risk of the owner's non-payment to the subcontractor. However, a typical paid-if-paid clause might read, contractor's receipt of payment from the owners is a condition precedent to the contractor's obligation to make payment to the subcontractor. The subcontractor expressly assumes the risk of the owner's non-payment, and subcontract price includes this risk. I think it is very important for us to look at this paid-if-paid clause and pay-when-paid clause in our contract agreements. I think it is important for both the prime contractor and the subcontractors, if these clauses exist, to make sure that the owner is financially sound and able to make payments on their project. I think that is one of our primary responsibilities before entering into any contract for construction. Working safely on a construction site is everyone's responsibility. Last year, the United States Department of Labor, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, wrote 54,135 citations for construction violations with total penalties of $49,579,411. That's an average of $915.84 per citation. The number one citation was for duty to have fall protection, with 7,020 citations for a total of $9,601,680 in fines, with the average cost per citation of $1,367.76. I think the one that surprised me the most were the number of violations and fines for not wearing hard hats. 1,556 citations, with total penalties of $978,901, for an average cost of $557.46 for each person not wearing a hard hat. This year, Congress has mandated that OSHA be self-supporting, which means that they are going to be writing more citations to support their operations. I believe that in 2009, OSHA will become a bigger factor in what we are going to be doing and required to do to properly manage our construction companies. Don't get me wrong, I don't believe that OSHA is a villain here. Working safely is every contractor's responsibility. But for those who are unaware of the requirements of what they need to do, the consequences could be devastating. Case in point, I know of a small carpentry framing contractor that this past year had a contract to frame a building, labor only, for $23,560. They had been warned numerous times about providing fall protection by the construction manager on the project. OSHA visited, and they were cited for six counts because they had six men on a roof framing with no fall protection and were fined $2,700 for each incident, or a total of $16,200. Luckily, no one was hurt. The contractor was able to negotiate the fine down somewhat, which prevented him from going out of business. I believe that it is important for every construction company to be fully aware of all of the safety requirements necessary to be in full compliance with OSHA standards and to provide a safe working environment for their employees. And now it's time for a Construction Business Mastery Quick Tip. I can't believe that it has been almost 30 years ago that a good friend of mine, who is a very successful general contractor, gave me a copy of a book to read and told me it would really help me out as I started my career in business. The name of the book was The E-Myth. I was young and a graduate with a degree in construction management and felt like I had read all the books I needed to read. Surprisingly, 2 months ago, another friend told me about the book, The E-Myth Revisited, which I picked up and read while I was on vacation in Hilton Head. I have to admit, after reading it, I wished I had read it 30 years earlier. I think I could have saved myself a lot of heartache and pain. The author, Michael Gerber, hits a home run describing how businesses should work for us and not us for the business. I also found a book by Michael Gerber directed at the construction industry, The E-Myth for Contractors, which I also promptly read. This book is a very short read and I believe is a must for anyone who owns a construction business. As a bonus for listening to this podcast, I am offering The E-Myth Contractor to anyone who wants it at a 50% discount. This book retails for $15.95, and we will see that you get a copy of it for only $7.95 plus postage. You can claim your copy of this book at www.constructionbusinessmastery.com/book. And I will also be posting a link to it at www.constructionbusinessmastery.com/podcast in the show notes for this episode. In our next podcast, we will be talking about how long you plan to be in the construction business, knowing that 80% of all new start construction companies go broke or out of business within 2 years, and only 2% remain after 5, we will be looking at some ideas and things that can make the difference as to where you fall in this statistic. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. And remember, don't hope you will succeed in the construction business. Plan for success.